out there, everybody, and thank you all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And I'm not in the ship alone. I have Camo Kyle Filson here.
How's it going? Yes, everybody, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. Beautiful day today.
Heyo!
Yeah, I've got some camo. My wife got me this at Duluth Trading Company.
She loves you.
It's like, I wear it in the summer because it like keeps the sun off you.
It's almost like a fishing shirt type thing. Yeah, real lightweight.
Yeah, it's just real lightweight and I wear it normally in the summer. But it's a nice day. I put it on. I found it at the front of my closet and grabbed it.
You're like, this works.
This works. I like orange. Orange is a good color.
It's my favorite color.
I think it might be up there with me.
Orange is my favorite color because it's one of the colors that I can really see.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm like, banger, I love this one. Look, the weather has gotten great. I know the crappy time change is coming. I thought we were done with that.
I hope everybody had a good Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I saw a lot of cool costumes when I was out trick-or-treating. I saw the dude.
Hey, he abides.
It was a great costume. The guy would look just like him.
I love it.
I saw a lot of cool kid costumes. I saw a couple costumes that kids are wearing that I had no idea what it was, but Luke knew what it was. So I'm officially getting old. I'm out of the loop.
Did he get his sack full this trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. He did great. Nice. Yeah, it was a good time. We had a fun time, and we had fun.
The big boys don't care.
Jacob went. Caleb did not. Caleb was working.
I got you.
I didn't think Caleb's not really sociable. You know that.
Yeah.
He's kind of a loner. He likes to stick to himself.
Yeah.
A boy and his computer, right? He can do anything.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why he won't build computers as a job. He keeps trying to pursue these other jobs. I'm like, you know, you could make way more money doing something you're already good at.
Because you told him that's what he needed to do. Exactly. He's not going to do it.
All right, darn kids. You got to learn the hard way, right?
Yeah. So other than that, everything's been popping around. We've been getting some really interesting stories sent to us. I've got a pile of them, which I'll be sharing today. More Halloween humanoid stories. And on the Elite Show will be more Halloween humanoid stories. So I've just got crazy humanoid stories. It's one of my favorites. We always talk about our favorites, right? Like, oh, this is my favorite. Now, I love the Fae. Don't get me wrong. The little people will absolutely be the peak of my favorite. Just kind of like Kyle loves giants. I love the little people. Opposite ends. But I will say this. The idea of humanoid, I like the broad brush because I like all the strange, like, things. And what I mean is, like, with Rat Man and Glimmer Man and Moth Man, and you get all these. I love all these crazy ones. Here's one I want to share with you.
Before you go, don't forget, tell everybody that we were on the Ducks Unlimited podcast.
DU, yeah, we were back on DU.
The other day, this will be our second time they had us on. So if you guys want to go over to Ducks Unlimited podcast, you can hear us over there. We had a pretty good time talking with those guys about, like you said, lots of different things like the Jersey Devil, La Llorona, and different things like that. It was a good time. I like talking to those guys. Even though we're not duck hunters. It's still fun to talk with them.
They're going to end up talking us into trying it. I can already feel it.
Well, I'll try anything once.
Oh, I know.
I think it's pretty cool. Some of those blinds and stuff those guys build in the marshes and stuff. That'd be cool. I don't know. I've had duck a few times and I didn't really care for it. Although I do like chicken fried in duck fat.
Oh, yeah.
So they do have a purpose.
From a duck.
He recommended some restaurant over in Frisco.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Man, it's so pretty good. It's pretty good. So like, I'm not going to lie. I'm glad I do want one in my town, but then I don't because I probably gained 30 more pounds.
Dude, I straight up don't need one of those here anywhere close to me. It needs to be 2 hours away.
One of those and some gallon of iced tea or sweet tea or some lemonade. Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
What do you got for us?
Yeah, but you're right. The DU is all, they're going to end up talking us into going and trying duck hunting. But what I was talking here with this crazy humanoid, this comes from Toronto, Ontario. So I know how much you love the Maple Leafs. I know how.
I like Austin Matthews. Yeah. I like Mitch Marner. Yeah. They're pretty good guys.
Listen to this humanoid sighting. It says, the year after I graduated from college in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I witnessed something that I still think about to this very day. My friend and I were coming to work. There were three of us on the night shift at the Ontario Research Foundation just west of Toronto. That sounds bad already, right? The Ontario Research Foundation, ORF. So it says we're coming in at midnight and drove up to the industrial door. Outside the door, in front of the little peak windows that you have at eye level, was this 6-footish tall, all black creature. Now, I don't think it saw us approaching, and I guess it heard the car. Maybe the lights caught its peripheral vision. It turned and looked at us, and the eyes were goldish and reflective. There was something about its face that was kind of cat-like, and we were startled. It was obviously startled also. You know, we were both just standing there looking at each other. We were approaching in the car for a couple of seconds, and it just turned and bolted into the woods. Like a 6 foot tall cat person.
Do you see that, A?
Yeah, right? Look at that. You see that cat take off, A? It says this was in 1980. This was 1980. No. So it says, I'm very serious and 100% sure that we both saw exactly the same thing. Only one other guy there at the time, and he was in the plant when we saw it. And I guess this creature was peeking in, you know, to see what was going on. But we both told him what we had seen. We were just like, you know, I say we scared ourselves. But I know what we saw, and there was something about that, that it was ape-like in body, although it was all black fur.
And tabaxi-like on its face.
Yes. And so there was something about the head that was cat-like on this creature. And the way it ran on two legs, it was a human figure, but the speed of this thing when it tore off through the woods was unbelievable. Thanks, Sam.
Now, what could that have been?
Tabaxi. What is the Stephen King movie where the cat people?
Oh.
Is it Sleepwalkers?
Oh, man. Dude, that's a good pull. I'm trying to remember. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Where they turn into the cats.
I know.
I thought it was Sleepwalkers, but it may not be.
I'd have to look into that. But I do remember that. Also remember in True Blood where Jason Stackhouse had those like cat people.
Yeah, the panther people.
Yeah,
he was in love with an old panther girl. It happens.
And then that line, that narrative just kind of dropped off. They never really revisited it. Like, what happened with the panther people?
You know what happened.
Yeah, that's a good pull. Speaking of the 1980s, check this out. In the early 1980s, I lived in a small town near the southwest part of the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia. I was hunting on public land in the National Forest just up the road from home in an area known as Cooper's Creek. I've hunted in and around that area for years and was very familiar with the terrain. When I located a good spot that I thought would give me a good chance at a large buck, I set up my lock-on tree stand about 12 feet off the ground. I was hunting with a 12-gauge shotgun, since rifle hunting is not allowed in this area. So fast forward to early November. I'd been hunting in my tree stand several times. This particular hunt was during the late afternoon, around 4:15 p.m. I wanted to get there earlier, but I was held up at work. This was a Friday afternoon, and my wife knew that I would not be home until 8:30 p.m., and even later if I bagged a deer. I parked my truck at the trailhead and started hiking into the woods to my tree stand. The walk would take about 20 minutes. I moved slowly through the woods since I didn't want to spook any of the wildlife. As I was walking, I noticed how quiet it was. It was eerily quiet. I finally arrived, climbed up, and settled in. I began to survey my surroundings. I began to have a disconcerting feeling like someone was watching me. I just felt like something was out of place. After a while, I kept looking at my watch, wondering how much time I had left until dusk. I thought that I should leave early because of how I was feeling. Then, I caught movement to my right side. I slowly turned my head and began looking through the tree canopy, and that's when I saw it. I honestly don't know what it was. I was staring into the trees and I saw what looked like a large human body, but it was completely blurred and transparent. It was moving through the trees. I could clearly see the outline of the figure, but the rest was all blurry. I couldn't focus on it. It resembled an out-of-focus blob of gelatin that was in the shape of a human. Whenever I would stop moving, I completely lost sight of it as it blended into its surroundings. I continued to watch it stop and then start moving. I do so for about 15 minutes. By that time, I was starting to become scared as I was thinking about my walk back to the truck. So I waited another 15 minutes or so. It was getting dark by then, so I slowly climbed out of my stand. Once I hit the solid ground, I wasted no time. I sprinted all the way back to my truck. I quickly jumped into the cab, and I just sat there in my truck and tried to regain my breath. I drove home and said nothing to my wife or anybody else for several weeks. During that time, I tried to convince myself that I had either imagined or had been mistaken somehow about the whole thing. I eventually told my wife one night. She listened and said that it was probably just my imagination. I later told my brother, who said something similar to my wife. I never told anyone else. I never hunted in those woods again. I didn't even go back for the tree stand. I took a break from hunting for about 5 years. I then started it up again, but never in that area. I still wonder what I saw that day. I have no rational explanation. Years later, I think in 1988, the movie The Predator was released. When I saw the cloaked alien on the screen, I immediately tensed up in fear. That is what I saw. I was shocked. Did I encounter an alien? I don't know. I still wonder what it was that I saw that day. I no longer hunt or spend much time in the woods. PL. Now, we've covered this story before, the sighting. Because the reason I bring it up is because Lon Strickler said that he got a note from the guy who had this encounter who actually recently started hunting again. And he actually was hunting in the same area that he saw this. And he claims to have seen something similar again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the guy said he thinks he saw the Glimmer Man for the second time. He can't be 100% sure.
In how many years?
But it's been since the 80s till now. So, like, why would it still be hanging in the same area?
Or it's attached to him. It knows where he's at. Maybe. That's the only other way, right?
Yeah, very interesting. I know the Glimmer Man stories are some of our favorites. Oh, yeah. And it goes along with your humanoid segment that we're going to be discussing today.
Heck yeah, I love it. Anything Glimmer Man related, I'm a huge fan of. I'm also a huge fan of winged cryptids.
Who's not?
Right? Who's not a fan? This one was reportedly flying over San Antonio. Get a load of this. Says, I live in San Antonio, Texas, and one night in June of 2021, I heard my dogs going crazy. I got three pit bulls barking and a lot more than usual. So I step outside. They're looking up towards the sky. Now I see something flying over my house, and it's really big, and I'm kind of tripped out. I thought this was just some sort of super big owl or something. So I went inside, and my dog started going crazy again. So I'm back outside, this time with a flashlight. They're barking towards the dark corner of my backyard. So I'm trying to flash my light over, but I can't really see anything. At this point, I hear movement. Something really big. I try throwing a rock over there, but nothing. So at this point, I'm freaked out. Finally, after about 30 minutes, the dogs stop barking. So about a month goes by, and I'm in the backyard again, but during the late afternoon. I'm in the yard. I just happen to look up, gazing at what I'd heard. Of a noise that sounded like it came from above the trees, and I swear I saw something really big, like flying by to where the wingspan of this creature had to be at least 12 feet wide. And the strange thing is that every time it flapped its wings, you could hear a whooshing sound. It was so big I couldn't believe my eyes. I tried to take a photo, but my phone wouldn't focus on it. So I went online and I searched. It wasn't similar to any of the reports posted. Not a pterodactyl, not a mothman, not even a thunderbird. The wing shape was bat-like, but strangely different. More like a gargoyle. The color of the creature was grayish, almost steel blue. No feathers, it seemed completely hairless. The head was small, there was no facial features to be seen. It made no sound while flying other than the whooshing sound of its flapping wings. Now, I recently talked to an ornithologist at the San Antonio Zoo, but he just brushed it off as a misidentification. I asked him if there was anything that big flying around South Texas. He just shrugged his shoulders, said no. Now, I've written to several people, including a few cryptozoologists, but no one has gotten back to me. This was one of the craziest things that has ever happened to me, JQ.
Wow. Cool. I mean,
so what could it have been besides Mothman?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Here's what you need to do there, JQ. Just so you know, Ken lives in San Antonio. I believe Mr. Gerhard's in San Antonio. Reach out to Mr. Gerhard. He knows a thing or two about flying humanoids.
That's right. He has a whole book based on it, and the artwork and everything is very cool.
Yeah. So that would be a banger.
And before you go to break, you were right. It was Sleepwalkers.
Yes.
It was a 1992 film.
Yes.
I forgot all about that movie till you said it. Now I'm going to want to go back and watch it.
You know what? Because here's what, let me think. Mark Hamill had like a little cameo in it. Luke Skywalker was in it. There was a few others that Ron Perlman, I believe, was in that movie. There was a few others that was in it. Yeah. But well, that's from like, dude, we were like in high school. That's like the early 90s.
92.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is a lot of Stephen King's movies aren't that good. Like,
don't hold up.
They don't hold up as good as like the books are amazing, but the movies, then adaptations just don't work out for some reason, for whatever reason.
Do you still like to watch? I still like to go back and watch Silver Bullet.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
I just, something about it, right? I just enjoy that film.
The story itself is cool. I go back and watch the old, remember the old television series in the 80s called Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes, yeah.
I go back and watch some of those episodes. Some of them are pretty corny, but some of them are good.
Man.
That, but they would always come on late at night, like after Saturday Night Live or something.
I watched, I'll tell you, you talk about scraping the bucket. I watched Creepshow 2 during Halloween. Now, I love the first Creepshow.
Yeah, Luke watches that all the time. Stephen King's in it.
Stephen King is in Sleepwalkers.
I'm sure.
He's, what is he, cemetery. I believe he works in the cemetery. Anyway, the whole deal with that is I forgot one of the stories in Creepshow 2 was one of my favorite ones about the wooden Indian that's in the front, the chief, right, that puts his own war paint on and all that. Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But it is, look, some of the movie itself is kind of corny. But like you said, the books, because you can build the movie in your mind. The idea, the stories are still so great.
Yeah, Luke has a bunch of the like Creepshow comics and stuff.
I'm not surprised about any of that.
I mean, I think if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see some Creepshow dolls that Luke has from years ago.
Nice. Oh, yeah, for sure. What was the little one that we used to laugh about that he used to freak out about?
From Creepshow or just the doll in general?
No, what was that doll? Remember there was like the one voodoo doll?
Yeah, the Zuni doll.
The Zuni, that was
That's
it.
That's from Trilogy of Terror.
That's it, the Zuni doll.
Where the woman goes
Does he have one?
Yeah, he has one. Yeah.
Nice.
That used to terrify him as a kid, actually. It's one of the few horror movies that actually scared him.
Doesn't scare him now.
But no.
Yeah, not much scares him now. Folks, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to be discussing more humanoids for this Halloween week. I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Humanoids. I got inundated with stories, all kinds of wild stuff. People sending me things. I was digging through more emails over the time. So I got some pretty wild ones. We'll crank this one back. We'll probably jump off right at the beginning back in the 60s. All right. This one actually took place in 1965. We're going to get right into it. I like to think about these stories that take place, of course, in the past, you know, because I'm nostalgic like that. I could only imagine what it would have been like to be able to travel the world in like the 40s, 50s, and 60s, to be able to know what you know now, right? And just take the planes like you see it in the Indiana Jones movies we always bring up. You watch them flying around like that would have been really neat. So you have to imagine what possibly it could have been like in Argentina in 1965. One evening on February 11th, to be exact, there was a group of citizens that was in their neighborhood there. They saw the landing of what they said was a very strange, transparent craft near their houses. While they watched all this, five creatures, they reported, that were a little larger than themselves, a little bit bigger than human beings, stepped out of this craft. Well, of course, the witnesses are freaked out, right? They're like, what's going on? That's not the wildest thing. I know you're like, what? What they reported seeing was all five of them were cyclops. All five had one eye in the middle of their forehead. Now, all the witnesses ran back to the road. That's where they state that one of the figures entered a house to look it over. A few minutes later, his companions all come over there. He walks out of the house. They all stroll up to the UFO, get in and take off. Yeah, that's what they claim they saw. There was another report, I think of like two or three others, that came in a field belonging to a fellow there, that two of his sons and several of the other people in this area actually met an 8-foot tall creature on this whole same ship landing crazy thing. And that one of the men that worked in this field there, his right arm was paralyzed when he tried to attack one of these things. Yeah, Yeah. Now they also go on to claim that one of the sons pulled out a rifle, had like a semi-automatic rifle. I'm thinking like a Ruger, you know, like a little, mini 14. It wouldn't work. Said the thing wouldn't work. He points it over at the thing, it won't do anything. So apparently they were all freaked out. They all took off, the whole deal. You know, they all scattered at this point. Could you imagine across town, you got Cyclops landing, then over here at this place, you got this guy running up trying to punch some alien guy only to have his arm get frazzled. And that's it. Dude, don't punch the aliens, man. Just leave them alone. So apparently it was popping off in Argentina in 1965. But let's keep it around this old time, this olden days, the golden days, if you will. Let's keep it around this time. Go back to Disneyland. Here is a wild story from Anaheim, California in 1965. What drew me to it was they say there was a Volusian there. Now, I'm not that great. Yeah, Volusian. I believe that's part of Star Wars lore, but I can't remember for sure. But the story says that a family was there at Disneyland, of course, having a little vacation fun, and they were in one of the small shops going through the stuff, right? Looking at the hat with the ears, whatever they're trying to get. Well, the wife hears someone say hello. Well, not seeing anyone around her, she doesn't pay it any mind. Keeps going along, hears hello again. Well, this time she's looking around, there's nobody there but the family that she has with her, one customer, and one clerk, and the clerk and the customer are together at the time. She hears this voice again, says, "I'm speaking to you." So she steps back, turns around. There is a person directly behind her who had not been there right before all this. What she reports basically seeing sounds almost like an elf. Very strong, sharp facial features and very pointed ears. And that this person was telepathically communicating with her. Now, it's this fella, tall, thin fella, tells her, don't be afraid, that he is this Volusian and that he's just there on vacation too. Now, what she does report is the fact that her husband that's standing over there has no idea what's going on. It's almost like all this stuff was going on and only she could see him. Now, she says, by this time, I was terrified because I've never encountered anything like this before. And so I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get my husband's attention. You know, I'm losing my mind. By this time, this person's going, what's wrong? Right? Like, kind of acted funny. She looks back away. The husband sees her, says, hey, what's the matter? She says, this guy. He's like, what guy? She turns around. Oh, boy, ain't there. Just gone. In the middle of Disneyland, 1965, in a little old, little trinket shop there. So if that's not wild enough for your Halloween humanoids, get a load of this. Any of y'all live in and around Cooksville, Maryland, wrap your minds around this. In 1973, 7 o'clock one evening, Mike Shea is driving towards Olney, Maryland, or Olney, I don't know how y'all want to pronounce it, Olney, Maryland, to meet a buddy. About 15 minutes outside of Baltimore, he sees something. What he sees is a beam of light hit a barn. He said about 150 foot off to the side away from his car. He said above this barn is a large object. This object's hovering. Now he says this object's also alternating in rings of red and yellow light, and that is totally silent. When the beam of light shuts off, Mike says that's when he kind of gets freaked out. He felt something come up behind him. He said at this time he sees the object overhead and he can actually feel an electrical current, he says, running up and down his back. Now, the next thing he says, I know, I'm feeling super relaxed and I'm almost to where I need to be. The only problem was I'm missing 2 hours of time. Yeah. Now, after he goes back through all of this, several years later, he goes through a regression. And what the regression finds is that he remembers seeing four figures standing on the side of the road. Okay, just hanging out, I guess, by the barn. He said what he can remember is these figures were dressed in a black plastic armor. Sounds like a bunch of, just stormtroopers over here. Some Darth Vader stormtroopers. But he said that was the whole thing, the whole deal. They were all in this black plastic armor. He said what he can remember is at some point something happened where he could see what it was underneath this armor. and that they looked like huge grasshoppers with long arms and bowed legs, and that they were very large. Three of them were very large. He said, now, the fourth was small, and he said this one wore a very silky suit, like a much less suit that doesn't look like, let's say, for combat, right? As the rest of them are all there. But he said, for some reason, he got the feeling that this one was the big boss. Like, this one was like the old, like ancient one that was there with him. It's a strange, wild thing. Now we're going to go into Russia. Now, for those of you that love UFO stories, Russia's full of them, right? Which makes sense. That's a very vast area. For some reason, I could, you know, you could see UFOs landing there just like you could imagine them landing here years ago. UFOs landing out there in small farming villages or, I mean, anywhere in that vastness. I like to think, too, about the airship. You know, the time that we talked about the airship flap in the late 1800s, you could imagine if something like that took place over there would be even more believable, right? I mean, you could imagine through the Midwest way back in the late 1800s, airships coming and going. There's probably not a lot of people out there that had a lot of communication out in the middle of these farmlands that didn't involve horseback or writing letters and having somebody carry it over, things like that. It was probably worse or a little more open, if you will, in Russia. So you could imagine what it would have been like to see these things long ago. So for some reason, that just carries over. I just think about, man, it makes sense to me, right? So in February of 1989, there were three drivers in Leningrad's auto park that was there. Now, I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names, but Alexander's one, Yuri is another one, and Sergei is another one. And the rest of it, we're just going to leave it at that. So apparently they decided they were going to go on a fishing trip. And they were going to be a pretty good ways from Leningrad. They were going to be in a town of Sosnovy Bor, which is where a nuclear plant is located, which, for those of you that are lovers of the UFOs, that's a dead giveaway right there, right? Like, there's so many stories of all these sightings. I believe in some of the newest, the Encounters story, I believe on HBO. There's the one on there talking about Fukushima, and they show all of this. So, I mean, it's very interesting. So anyway, these guys are out. They're going to be go fishing, right? Suddenly, they said that they saw a UFO flying above them. They noticed a strange white object in the sky. They said that was brighter, like three or four times brighter than the stars. So it's really, really pumping it out. They see it moving in their direction. They said it makes a sharp left or turns to the east, keeps flying. They said after they watched it for like 15 minutes, they just kind of were like, eh, that's it. So they go on, they have dinner, they set up camp, everything. They go to the woods, they gather up firewood. It's dark. So one of the fellas comes strolling back in along the shore of the lake. He's gathered up some wood, right? And he's just a little ways into the tree line. And he says that's when he noticed that this disc has landed not far from where they were camping, which here's another thing that's pretty crazy. If you don't hear them flying, you're not going to hear them landing, right? That's, to me, more unsettling than not hearing one fly. It's to know that it could just land. They could just get out and walk right up to your camp. Be like, hey, what's up? So it goes on. He says that this was a beautiful round-shaped object and that the windows were the broadest part, was right around the... So it seems like... It sounds like a saucer, and all around the edges is nothing but windows. But they also said that he says that it was made out of a very dark material. But what he noticed is he didn't see anything visible where there were doors on it. He said it was completely smooth. He said there were some visible indentations, but nowhere that he looked like you could see where you could open a door, right? He also says that there was no fear, no fear whatsoever, that he just stared at this object for about 20 seconds. And he said he thought about calling his friends, but he's like, well, I don't want to startle this thing. Whatever's going on, I'm just going to be there. He said he looked to the left of the object, and that's when he noticed a shadow moving, walking back towards the object. He says then a second figure starts coming on the right side of it. And then there's a third figure standing between the first and the second. He said he thinks they're leaving. He doesn't know at this point. He's like, I guess they're getting out of here. So this is what he says. He said he thought maybe that he could catch one of the aliens and put it in his car. Then he's like, that's probably not a good idea, which is good call. Good call. He said what gave him the idea is they were moving very slow. These things are moving real slow. They're not making any sound, and the craft is soundless. So Makes me think, too, if you're going to be talking telepathically, what's better to sneak up on anybody, right? What you're driving makes no noise, you're moving real slow, and you can talk without talking. It's perfect. He says when one of the aliens moved to about 10 meters from him, he yelled at them, making friendly advances, however you yell and make friendly advances, pointing out, hey, look, I'm not here to hurt you. He says the figures approached in silence. They came real close to him. He says they were generally human-looking, is what he says, but that their mouths were tightly closed and that they had no visible lips, but they had a proportional head with no visible hair. Now, he said what was on their faces looked like severe concentration, that they were dressed in tight-fitting, gray-colored outfits, and that the third alien didn't come over, just hung out. He says then he witnesses a flash, kind of like that of a flash photo. Says the next thing he notices is pressure in his head and a voice in his brain, and the voice was unpleasant, raspy, and metallic, much like mine is, huh? Says, what are you doing here? So it's talking to him. He says, I'm here to fish with my buddies. It asked him, would you like to come with us? He says, I thought about it. He said, I was really tempted. And then the voice says, you will not return. He's like, oh, wait a minute. He says, this is what it told him. We need to know what your inner structure is. Says the witness then declined the offer and said, no. Says the alien said, threatening, if you start a nuclear war, we will destroy you. The witness said, hopefully, that the humans wouldn't start one. And at this point, he says he starts hearing what sounds like high voltage buzzing in his brain. Moments later, this is what he sees. A huge, shaggy humanoid figure about 3 to 4 meters in height. Says its head was resembling that of an ape, and it stood above the witness, a little higher than the trees. He remembered seeing the alien figures move suddenly away from him, disappearing behind the trees, that he didn't notice how they entered the ship, but that the object slowly and silently ascended. Yeah, a Bigfoot. So apparently the Bigfoot thing left when these aliens left, when whatever these crazy visitors to Russia in 1989 left. So imagine that. Like, that's always one of the chats, right? We're always talking about what if the aliens brought Bigfoot? Well, sounds like this time it did. Here's one from 1993 that took place in Kadima, Israel, from a person named Zipporet Carmel woke up earlier than usual and went to her kitchen. And when she got there, she noticed that the room was bathed in a strange light. So she went to check the grounds, and as she walked around the storage shed, she noticed what appeared to be a large fruit silo in a nearby field. Now get a load of this. She took a closer look to this silo-like object. It was silver and square in shape, and it had what appeared to be 18 glowing square windows along the side. 5 huge beams of powerful light were shining out of that. Yeah. So that's something to see, right? That's something to be like, what's going on? Says that suddenly what appeared to be a second section of the object materialized, doubling in size, and that a 7-foot-tall man-like figure appeared next to said object. Well, apparently she's just, dogs were out there. Maybe she was walking the dog. The dogs freak out, right? Everything's going crazy when this guy appears. Says it's wearing a complete metallic overall-like suit, a veil that covers its face that hangs down from its headgear. Now, the headgear part is my favorite part of the story. Reports what seems to be a sombrero is what this alien is wearing. Sombrero-like. The figure and the witness then stood there staring at each other for about 30 seconds. The port then quietly whispered, why don't you take off your hat so I can see your face? Pretty sneaky, right? She then reports hearing a clear voice inside of her head that spoke in Hebrew, telling her that's how things were. And that the witness then felt compelled to go back to her kitchen. Now, later on, people apparently they came back. There was some substance found on the ground where this thing was seen, was making people sick. Like, it just sounds like an all in all, a very strange encounter all the way around. Any way you slice it. doesn't stop there. More craziness from Russia. January 1997, 9 a.m. This is what it says. A soldier of a local military unit, who was also a cook at the radar post deep in the dense forest, had gone to the perimeter fence of his unit in order to obtain some firewood from logs that were already prepared and positioned near the fence. He needed to prepare dinner for the company, so the time was a little bit after breakfast. Weather was good and frosty, with lots of snow on the ground, basically a beautiful, cold, clear day. Suddenly, he sees two hairy humanoids, one about 2 meters in height, the second about a little less, says 1.7 meters. Both covered in dense fur of dirty red color. Now, the soldier thought that the taller entity was a female, and the second shorter one probably a child. Both entities had penetrated inside the perimeter of the unit, possibly attracted by the smell of the kitchen area. Now, the witness was carrying an axe and for some strange reason was not afraid, he says only curious, and walked towards these creatures in an attempt to get a better look. Now, amazingly, he wasn't able to approach the pair since both constantly seemed to move ahead of him. He said he couldn't make up any ground between them, so he increased his pace. But at the same time, it seemed like they increased theirs, moving away from him. Finally, moving faster and faster, the entities jumped into the air, and momentarily the witness thought the perimeter fence would hinder their escape, but that to his amazement, you ready for this? Both of the hairy humanoids simply zoomed into the air and levitated over the fence. The humanoids then flew away and vanished above the tall pines in the forest which surrounded this installation. The witness then stopped his pursuit, returned back to the fence, and saw two tracks of footprints which were left there in the snow. Now, the layer of snow was thick and strong. Evidently, the tall, hairy humanoid was also very heavy. Says these footprints seemed to become dimmer and less deep as they neared the fence, indicating the humanoids were apparently already ascending as they neared this fence. Other soldiers reported seeing these footprints, but were reluctant to report this all to their commanding officer. Yeah, I can imagine. It's kind of hard to step up there and be like, hey, I just saw two Bigfoot levitate over the security fence. It's understandable. You don't want to spread that kind of news around. But wouldn't that make sense? Wouldn't that make sense if Bigfoot, let's say, were flesh and blood, but also were alien, right? That this, he could do things like that. It would make a lot more sense, I guess. But here is another one that's really interesting. San Luis Potosi, Mexico, October 1965. Francisco Estrada Acosta had gone out on a small game hunting expedition near a local mining area. He followed the Santiago River and arrived at the San Jose Dam. There, while bending down collecting some rocks for his slingshot, he felt some weird presence. You get that feeling. He says, I get this feeling someone's watching or standing real close to me. He stands up, turns, and is startled to see a tall figure with a large oval-shaped head, huge red eyes. He said they were phosphorescent. And a large toad-like, that's right, folks, toad-like mouth. Says the strange humanoid extends this flipper-like hand to him and touches one of his hands right in the palm. He says that this touch is cold and scaly, like that of a reptile or an amphibian. Now, Acosta at this point is terrified. He takes off, turns around and runs. He says he looks back and noticed that the creature had a membrane wing-like protrusion on its back and was apparently preparing to leave also. So he doesn't know if it was a wing, if it's just a fin. We don't know where this thing come from, if it jumped back in the water. He has no idea where or how, what was going on. But in Mexico in 1965, Mr. Acosta met the Toad Man. It doesn't stop here. We have another Lizard Man encounter from here in the great state of Texas, Big Springs, June 2005. There was a 13-year-old was out hunting with his grandpa. said they got separated from each other. They were quail hunting. So they kind of got spread apart looking for a flock of quail. Said he strode up a mountain carrying a shotgun and a bag of shells. So he scratched his leg with a rock and tended the wound for a few minutes, and he heard some ducks nearby. So they knew there had to be a pond over there. He's going to go wash his hands. He says he arrives at the pond, starts washing his hands, thinks about washing his leg off. He hears this splashing noise. He looks up and he sees a man leaning over drinking from the pond. Only a few seconds into this, he realizes, well, that's no ordinary man. This fella's got scales and a lizard's head. At this point, dude's freaking out, right? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Just stands there watching this thing, which is completely understandable. I think we'd all freeze, like, check this thing out. Around this time, it realizes he's watching it. It pops up, stands up, looks. They look at each other. They don't know what to do, right? He says it then jumps in the water and begins swimming towards them. He manages to shoot 3 shells at it and then runs as fast as he can after telling his grandfather, says his grandpa did not believe a word he was saying. So I'd like to not believe it too. I don't want to think there's a lizard man out there that might hop in the water and try to swim himself over and get to me. Now, not only that, but in Louisiana, August 2016, this witness was driving home from Jackson, Mississippi, north on I-55, about a half a mile south of the Route 10 overpass. Says about 100 yards ahead, he sees something. He says this thing pops out, runs across the highway, gets almost out of the headlights. He says, when I get there, boom, I hit the high beams. What I see is a walking lizard man. He says, yeah, this thing is walking on 2 feet like a man just strolling across the road. This thing has greenish brown skin and he can see it's got scales. He said, not just that, but it's got a tail, a real thick tail at the base. Goes down and just kind of stumps, right? Says it's almost to the roadway. That's how long its tail is. Says the body was that of a man, arms, legs, head, everything, about 6 foot tall. But it's got a lizard's head. It looks just like a dude with a lizard's head and a big stumpy tail. Says it ran across the highway. When he got to where it had crossed, of course he's driving, he didn't get out. But he says, you couldn't tell it had even been there. It had run off. I wished, you know, you always wish, oh, I wish it was more. I wonder if there was a game trail, right? If it was a game trail, something, but okay, there we go. So we've got lizard men running across the road. Lizard men, like toad men, the toad man showing up. Lizard man jumping in the water, swimming across to a kid, right? We got cyclops landing in their spacecrafts. Dude, what is going on? That's the greatest thing, I think, about humanoid encounters or anything that has to do with humanoids is there's such an array. Now, why they're all built like us, why that's something that we see is, if it was alien, why would we even think it would be built the way we're built? I don't know, but it is an interesting part of the folklore and the strangeness that goes on this world. But I hope you enjoyed the crazy Halloween humanoids. If you enjoyed it, I got a whole stack more to keep going. I'm going to drop that on the Elite Show this week. That's what's coming out for all you elitists. Thanks for listening. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll ask Mr. Filson what he thinks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. More humanoids, and I have another humanoid story to hit you with. Well, I wouldn't say humanoid for here for sure, but this is something you and I have discussed. I discuss it on the shows. We bring it up, the possibility of feral humans living in the mountains still to this
day. And in the trees. You did a whole episode on feral humans in the trees, yeah. Right?
In those trees.
We got a lot of feedback.
Dude, as much area, when you start thinking about, like we talk about the through hikes, right?
Yeah.
The AT, the PCT, the Continental Divide, the CDT. So you start looking at those. That's a lot of area out there that you could easily slip off. All of these things. Listen to this. This took place in Virginia, folks. Lon's got this up from Blue Ridge Mountains, which I would like to go. They look beautiful, right? Says, I've traveled about an hour from my home in Lynchburg, Virginia, to do some exploring in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm not big on hiking or whatever, but I had recently gone through a breakup with my boyfriend, and I just needed some fresh air and some time alone. So I parked, and I just started wandering. I didn't follow a specific path. I was mesmerized by the gigantic trees, the fauna, and the wildlife. Isn't that the flora and the fauna?
Mm-hmm.
Says that I was really enjoying myself. That's what the outdoors does for you, right? Makes you feel better.
That's right.
But it can also scare the hell out of you. Here we go. I'd been hiking for about 2 hours when I saw a large hole on a nearby mountainside. It wasn't too far and seemed like it was a manageable climb. So I climbed up, and when I got to the grotto, I stuck my head in, and it was, of course, dark. So I turned on my phone's flashlight. That's when I realized this was a deep cave. So I got a little carried away thinking about how I had discovered a cave, wondering if anybody else had ever been up here. It was sort of exciting, so I ducked down and walked in. I went in a few feet, and I was very careful, but I could see a smooth rock floor beneath me, and I felt safe. So I continued walking forward, following the light from my flashlight. I was maybe 15 or 20 foot in when I realized this was a cavern, that there were a few openings in the walls surrounding the cavern. So I picked the closest one to me and looked in. It was another tunnel. It was big enough to walk through, so I stepped through the opening and carefully walked a few more feet. That's when I heard scampering. I stopped walking, thinking maybe I'd kicked something, and looked all around, but I didn't see anything. I then heard the scampering again, and when I raised my phone up to look ahead of me, I saw a person, only like not a regular person, but a humanoid. It was fully nude, and it looked very malnourished. It was crouched down on its hands and feet about 4 foot in front of me. It was so pale, like maybe it had never even seen the sun. Its face was sunken in, and I could clearly see the cheekbones, and it had totally black eyes. Not just the pupils, but all black. And between its hands was a half-eaten rabbit. Now, I heard the chattering sound and realized that this humanoid was making the noise. I don't know how I knew, but it was calling out to others. I moved back towards the entrance, but kept my flashlight on it. It seemed fearful of the light and didn't try to move towards me. I was able to get back through the entrance, and I took a look around. I didn't see anything else. I then ran for my life the way I came, and could hear the chattering, and this chattering sound was getting closer and louder. There had to be more than just one. I felt like I was being hunted. I was able to see the light from the original opening. I tripped and then quickly got up and rushed out of the hole. I ran and slid down the mountain. I only stopped when I was sure nothing had followed me. That's when I realized I had no phone. I must have lost it when I tripped. I had no idea where I was, but I was just happy to be alive. I did eventually find a trail and managed to get back to my car. I found the local police station, but it was pointless because they wouldn't take me seriously, so I just drove home. I cried so much on that drive, and when I got home, I checked my phone's location with the satellite feature. All I could see was a heavily wooded area. The last time I checked the location of my phone, it had moved several miles away from its original location. I'm sure the battery has long since ran out. I've done a bit of research online and found references to crawler humanoids, but I'm just wondering if this was a feral human of some kind. Regardless, I am not going back to that area, M.
Wow. Yeah, the sightings of feral humans actually is more common than you would think. And going back to a long history, especially in the Appalachian area, for whatever reason, that area, there's been numerous sightings, and we've talked about even special cases like the Dennis Martin case where mm-hmm. people think that there was still some feral-like humans living out there in the wild, and they would abduct children or people because people go missing when they're picking berries and weird things like that. And it's not always Bigfoot, but yet feral human, devolved humans that are living in the wild. And if you think about it, it makes sense. I'm not saying currently like now that's happening, but back in the day, maybe the early 1920s, 1930s, 40s, those kind of, there's these backwood hermits that would live up in the mountains, right? And they'd search for ginseng and they'd make their own moonshine. And these were bearded and probably scrawny looking people, dirty. And they would probably steal whatever they could to make a living. And maybe they would abduct humans every once in a while. Maybe they wouldn't even abduct humans because he said that they saw it eating a rabbit. Yeah. It's scary, but it's not a Bigfoot. It's just a really, it's a hermit. That's the way I picture it in my mind, is just a person living in the wild, just a lean-to shack, no running water, no electricity, no nothing, well, no teeth.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't sound like this was a crawler. No, because this thing didn't do the things that crawlers, that we've been led to believe of what they do.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean? It does sound more like it's a person, but it does make you wonder. There has to be mental illness involved. Because no person in their right mind is going to devolve down to that level, right? If you were 25 years old and you just had a mental break and ran off into the woods, you're not going to, unless that break continues, you're not going to let yourself get so just scrawny and starved and emaciated and just ran down to where you're just eating raw rabbit in a cave in the middle of nowhere.
I wouldn't think so.
You would seek help. Unless that is how, that's where you were born and raised, and that is your normal life, your normal existence.
Yeah, what was the Russian girl that was raised by wolves? Remember that? And she was like,
yes.
Name was like Dasha or something like that.
Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it?
She was crazy and feral, and she has like problems, but like when they found her, she was like living
acting with dogs,
like a dog.
Like her parents.
Yeah, not wolves, but like dogs, wild dogs. Yeah. I imagine that's the way it is in Alaska, because like now, if you ever watch those shows in Alaska, it's like the wildest, craziest people move up there for whatever reason.
And now they've gotten together and they've got kids, and those kids are raised in that realm, right? So they're just wild, crazy survivors up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is one of those things. There's so many caves, like we talk about. We bring it up, like you said, with the missing 411. We talk about it all the time. There are so many caves that people, you know, I'm sure it's this way. You would take it for granted that you're like, I'm sure somebody's already explored that cave. Right? I'm sure somebody's, and they may have looked in there, but it still doesn't mean that they've seen everything.
No.
So there's a good chance, and like you always wonder, we discuss, are they connected much deeper in the ground?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, what a beautiful part of the world. Like, you ever watching documentaries up there in Kentucky and West Virginia and stuff?
Yes.
It's beautiful up there, all through the hollers. Everybody knows one another.
That's also what the land between the lakes, too.
We talked about that with the DU guys, man, right?
That's a little creepy up in there, too.
Man, that is cool. If you have any crazy humanoid stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, as well as the listeners, or anything else for that matter, don't hesitate. Email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. Before we get out of here, let's thank our wonderful sponsors, HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/50expanded and use the code 50expanded. For 50% off plus free shipping, that's HelloFresh.com/50expanded and use the code 50expanded for 50% off free shipping. And
we got ZBiotics, y'all. With Thanksgiving coming up, you know you're going to want to get your hands on some of this. It's super simple. Go to ZBiotics.com/expanded. There you're going to get 15% off your first order when you use the code expanded at checkout. Now that's ZBiotics, ZBIO. TICS, ZBiotics.com/expanded, 15% off. Use the code expanded at checkout.
Awesome. And Cam, what do you have planned for the rest of your week? I know that things are starting to heat up out at the deer lease.
Hunting.
Me too, man.
Hunting. And I'm going to hang out with my granddaughter some. And then that's pretty much it.
Oh, how did her trick-or-treating go?
She loved it. So she got to do a little of it. And then they went to a friend's house, and she likes to hand out candy to all the other kids. So she'll trick or treat, but she loves to go and give and play and the whole thing. And this one house where they always set it up and all this family, it's a big deal. So that's what she did. She had a blast.
It's about giving as much as receiving. I saw a really cool video on Instagram of these like three little kids that walked her to the house, and it was like a serve yourself kind of Halloween thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a person handing out candy, and they looked in the bucket of candy and it was completely bone dry. They were looked disappointed. They turned around to walk off. Then they walked back up and they took candy out of their bags and put it in the bucket and walked off.
That's awesome.
Without anybody prompting them to do it.
They were like, somebody needs something here.
So it's like, it's built in, right? To be kind to one another. If we could just stick to that.
Well, that was funny because they were filming my granddaughter go up to my sister-in-law's house. And she does that. You know, she's a Paula's house, right? She comes out with a big bowl of candy and holds it down to my granddaughter, to Emma. And Emma takes one sucker. She's like, you can have all, right? She holds up another one. This sucker's green. Emma got a red one. She goes, what about this one? She goes, okay. And she puts the green one back or what to the red, grabs the green. She only took one. And I'm like, I don't know where she got that from because her dad wasn't that way. He was like, nah, I like that food.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's all I'm going to be doing. I hope everybody out there has a really good week. Thanksgiving is coming fast, so
hey-o.
Better start your Christmas shopping now.
That's right.
Get your list going. Hopefully you're on the good list, not the naughty list.
Nope.
And it'll be here before you know it. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.